Good morning, Jesse. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Gary. Thanks for having me.
So I'm hoping to learn a lot here about salmon and the life and times of salmon, what they do, and the research that you're doing at New York Sea Grant. And we always appreciate talking to one of your representatives, of course. Dave White's been on with us several times. So it's great to have you on, Jesse.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Let's get right to it. You've just put out a new video about the king salmon, also known as Chinook. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. I'm very naive on this subject, Jesse, so bear with me as we go along.
No problem.
Why don't we start right there? Let's talk about that video. Tell us about it.
Okay. So the video is describing a project that's funded by Sea Grant. Researchers from Cornell University and also from Florida State University at Jacksonville are conducting this study. And yeah, as you mentioned, king salmon, also known as Chinook salmon, are a very important economic driver in the Lake Ontario area and the Great Lakes Basin in general. The fishery brings in a multitude of recreational anglers from all around the United States and other countries in the U.S. So what this study is trying to do is to better understand king salmon movements and behavior. So we're using satellite pop-off tags that can then be retrieved and provide us a lot of information about these salmon. So king salmon in Lake Ontario, they can grow larger than in any other of the Great Lakes, mm-hmm. and they can reach lengths over 3 feet long and and over 30 pounds as well.
Wow.
So good-sized fish, and people come from a long way to come out and catch them.
Tell us what exactly how these tags work. I mean, do you catch the fish and then put the tag on them, or how does that work, Jesse?
Yeah, exactly. So the video goes into some detail, but we go out with charter captains and capture the fish, bring them on board, and then apply these tags, and then release the fish. We drop them back down to the same depth where they were caught. And the tags can run, well, you can set them for different times, but 45 days to 90 days is about what we set our tags for. And then either at the end of that time, they will then pop off and rise to the surface. Or when the fish stops moving up and down, the tag can sense that as well, and then the tag will release and put out a signal with some of the data. But again, if we can retrieve those tags, they've collected information on several different things like the water temperature, the depth where the fish was located, the light levels, and then also they have accelerometers in them. So we can tell how quickly the fish are swimming depending on the angle that the tag is at.
I'm really interested in these tags. I mean, do you put them on the... Again, I know nothing about this, Jesse, so bear with me if this is basic to you. You put them on their fin or strap them around the fish? And how do they pop off on their own?
So they're put on a little harness that's inserted into the back of the fish.
Okay.
And they kind of look like a little ice cream cone. But they... their buoyancy is set so that they don't really put much pressure on the fish itself.
Mm-hmm.
We've got two different kinds of tags. One of them was newly developed specifically for fresh water, but it was a saltwater tag, and that just has a wire that's corroded over time in the saltwater. So that was just adjusted to then work in fresh water. So the timing of that is just based on the corrosion. And then the other type of tag actually has a little black powder charge in it, just enough to snap the housing and have the tag rise to the surface.
Hmm. And it causes no discomfort to the fish, obviously? Yeah.
No, they seem to be behaving as we would, right. Well, not as we would expect.
Right.
We've learned a few things about what the fish are doing. Including really fast forays to the surface up into warmer water than we would expect, and then also down below 300 feet in some cases. They'll drop down quickly and then slowly come back up. So anyway, the fish are swimming around quite well. We actually had one fish pop up, let's see, it was about 49 days after we tagged it. We tagged it near Oswego Harbor on the United States side.
Mm-hmm.
And then, about 50 days later, it showed up 90 miles away over on the Canadian side near Cobourg.
Wow. Yeah, I would say they get around. When you catch these fish, and again, bear with me, when you catch these salmon, how do you catch them?
So we're out with charter captains, and we're using their gear and their information. So they're very well versed at finding the right depths where actively feeding salmon can be located. So we're trolling lures through those areas and then reeling in the fish.
What exactly do they eat?
Chinook salmon in Lake Ontario are very focused on a prey fish called alewife. So alewife are very, very plentiful in Lake Ontario. During the state and federal surveys, they are the most common fish sampled. So they're out there, and the Chinook salmon, or king salmon, focus on those almost exclusively. That's almost all that they eat.
And I assume that there are plenty of salmon out there. They're not endangered in any way? Or?
No, there's stocking programs in both the U.S. and Canada, and there's also natural reproduction occurring. Chinook salmon were originally from the West Coast. They're a Pacific salmon.
Mm-hmm.
They were brought into the Great Lakes to control alewife populations. So in the 60s and 70s, the numbers of alewife were really high, and during certain times of the year, they could experience die-offs, and they would then wash up onto the beaches, and they'd have to be trucked out. So they were really fouling some of the popular beaches, and
mm-hmm.
with the loss of the native landlocked Atlantic salmon in Lake Ontario, these Chinook salmon were brought in to kind of replace their ecological role and control these prey populations so that we wouldn't have those die-offs. And that has since turned into a very lucrative fishery.
Right, I know. And in this area of Oswego County, of course, around the lakes, do the salmon have any natural enemies of their own?
Gary, that's a good question. In Lake Ontario, I would say anglers are kind of their biggest predator.
Okay. Right.
Where they are native in the Pacific, there are some marine mammals and things that that eat them, and sharks as well. In Lake Ontario, they're kind of at the top of the food chain. However, I will mention that sea lamprey, parasitic fish, will attach to the outside of king salmon, and that is that has been an issue, and a lot of money goes into controlling sea lamprey, treating streams so that those lamprey don't reproduce successfully.
You know, Jesse, it sounds like you have a fun job, if I can throw that in there. You basically can go fishing.
Well, to some degree, yep.
Having a little fun with you there. These pop-off tags, again, I'm just fascinated by them. Now, you get the information when you collect these tags, when you find them floating around, or do they send up a signal to a satellite, or how does that all work?
A little bit of both. They do send up a signal when they reach the surface. So some data is conveyed through that signal. However, not all of the data is transmitted. So we can get a location on the tag because it's transmitting, and we can then go and locate the tag, and they then get sent in, and the data is extracted so that more analysis can take place.
Okay, and I understand that there's a couple doctors that evaluate a lot of these the information here I have here on my notes.
Yes, that's right. Dr. Jim Watkins at Cornell University, and Dr. Chris Pearl of Florida State University at Jacksonville. So they're these tags are taking information every second. So we've got a lot of information coming back from the tags that we have out, and what's going to take place next is really focusing in on that accelerometer data to figure out, you know, if a fish is in a certain location, that's fine. We can understand where it is, but we want to know what it's doing as well. So they're going to be looking at that and seeing if the fish are swimming quickly, likely, you know, chasing prey, and also to pinpoint a little bit better where the fish are located through time, so spatially across the lake. And that'll help anglers understand what water temperatures to focus on, maybe what areas to start looking for salmon and fishing for salmon would be based on some of the information that we're getting back.
Okay. I would assume that you would look at this information that would give you some insight as to the health of the fish itself as well, if it's moving around a lot or...
Yeah, we can gain that information as well. And what's interesting, you know, I mentioned that one fish showing up almost 100 miles from where
exactly.
we caught it in just a few weeks. Well, the native range of these fish is really quite large. I mean, you can think of all of the Pacific Ocean. So Lake Ontario is actually a pretty small system for them. So, yeah, we should be noticing that they're swimming around, that they're swimming around and finding the right water temperatures. And also, we're trying to tag adult fish that are going to spawn the year that we tag them. So then we also expect the fish to be returning to a tributary of Lake Ontario to then spawn. And that would be an indication that the fish is healthy and doing what it's supposed
right,
to do.
Right, right. So what kind of temperatures do the salmon like?
They tend to focus is something in the 40-degree area. About 42 to 48 is what the anglers
really?
Tend to target.
Okay.
However, we have noticed, based on the temperature data that we're getting back from these tags, the fish spend most of their time at about 52 degrees, which is a little bit different than what we might expect. But again, perhaps that fish is going to a different temperature to digest food, or maybe not to forage necessarily. And then again, maybe it is. So again, we're going to have to look more closely at these data to find out what the fish are doing at the different temperatures as well.
You know, being naive, I'm just guessing here, Jesse, that the fish would find the right temperature more or less by finding the right depth of the water.
Yes, that's right. So within Lake Ontario, there is something called a thermocline, which is where the water temperature changes pretty quickly. And the cooler, more dense water tends to sit underneath the warmer, less dense water. So, and what we're seeing is that the salmon can find that based on the depth they can go. But then they're also trying to overlap with not only the right temperature, but also with prey fish. So
there you go.
Food.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So they may actually be leaving the temperature of water that they want to be in to then go and forage, and that may be warmer, that may be cooler, depending on what they're going after. But again, we'll be able to learn more about what the fish are doing when they're changing depths rapidly, and we can see that the temperature isn't optimal for them.
That's great. So how long have you been tagging the fish with these tags, Jesse?
We just started this year.
Okay.
Yep, this year. So more tags are set to go out next year to follow up and learn more.
Wow, very fascinating, and thank you for bearing with me here, as I am extremely naive here. You mentioned the economic impact, and it is. It's a multi-million dollar industry, and of course, obviously, we're involved in the central New York area, Oswego County, Lake Ontario, primarily. Can you give me any idea of, you know, just how popular it is in this area?
Yeah, I'll give you some idea. So, for example, there's a lake-wide fishing derby that goes on every year, and usually just the fall derby, so this is just the kind of the August to September time of the year, there's thousands of anglers who participate, and usually that's bringing in expenditures of more than $2 million. $1 million at that single time a year, and that's not counting everybody else that's out there fishing. That's just people participating in the derby.
A couple things that when I think of salmon, I'll be honest with you, the first thing that comes to my mind is is the bear in the middle of the river grabbing a fish with his mouth.
Sure.
And that would be a salmon, correct? Probably.
But you're
telling me you can catch these fish out in the lake as well.
Yes. So, similar to what the king salmon do in their native range out in the Pacific, the king salmon in Lake Ontario are born in streams, and then they go down into the lake, and that's where they grow to large sizes. and then they return back into the streams, generally where they were born, to reproduce.
Okay.
So yes, those are the fish that are swimming upstream that you see in the movies and the pictures.
And that's where all the fishermen I see around in Pulaski specifically, that I see at the Salmon River, usually in the fall, I see them fishing.
Yes, there's a large number of folks that come again from all around the world to fish for king salmon in Lake Ontario, and also the tributaries. There's also other fish, so we have coho salmon as well, and also rainbow trout. They call them steelhead when they're coming in from the lake. And those can also be caught, the steelhead, year-round. Those fish are available in the streams. So, again, okay, they can be caught out in the lake and also in the streams.
Well, Jesse, it's so great to be talking to you this time of year about fishing. Jesse Lepak, New York Sea Grant Fisheries and Ecosystem Health Specialist. Thank you for putting up with me, and I learned a lot from our conversation. Now, we opened talking about that three-minute video that you put out. Where can people find that video?
That video can be found on www.nycgrant.org.
Mm-hmm.
It's also on YouTube. I think you just go on YouTube and search for King Salmon and New York Sea Grant, and that will come up. And they can also call the New York Sea Grant office, and they could direct you to where to find that as well.
Great.
And that's at SUNY Oswego at 315-342-3042.
Well, Jesse, thank you for your time. Have we covered everything that you wanted to talk about this morning?
I think so, yes.
Have a great day.
Okay, thanks, Gary. You too.